If you have been coming to Living Hope at all over the past number of weeks, you may remember that we are currently in a study of the book of Colossians. And Luke took us last week. Luke Steele preached last week and took us through chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, talking about the very practical aspects of living a Christian life. And so, coming through that, Paul now turns his attention in this section of chapter 3 to the family, And he begins this focus on the family by talking to the heart of the family, husband and wife. So we encounter in our study now these two verses. These are the next two verses of Colossians 3. They are simply this. Colossians 3:18 says this, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Now, knowing that I was going to include an interview with Gary this morning, I knew that I couldn't really dive into this section the way I wanted to this morning. So what I decided to do was give kind of an introduction this morning and to actually get a little feedback from you. You'll hear more about that as the morning goes on. But I just want to start with some basic thoughts. I'm really not drawing any conclusions today. I'm just going to ask a few questions to kind of prime your thinking for next week. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not going to be here next week, of course, you'll be able to hear the second part on the podcast on our website. But just some basic thoughts. If we look at those two verses, again, verse 18, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." My guess is the second verse, or verse 19, the second of the two that I read, I can't imagine anywhere in the world gathering a group of people together and asking, "Do you agree with Paul's command that husbands should love their wives?" I can't imagine anybody standing up saying, "Nope, I do not agree with that. That's a terrible idea. What was Paul thinking?" I can't imagine that. Of course, husbands are to love their wives. Now, what about verse 18? "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." What would that response be? If you were to go around the world, even around Lancaster County, and ask people, "What do you think of this command of Scripture?" I suspect that that response would be, let's say different. Let's say different than that. I think that verse 18 would be questioned by some and simply rejected by many. Let me share this as we start. We're doing some work on redesigning or creating a whole new website at Living Hope. So I've been trying to do some writing for different things, and I've been asking myself, like, what would be the core values of this church? What are the core values? Well, one of the things, that this is still in draft form, so the words might change a little, but I don't think they're going to change much. One of the core values is that God's Word is our foundation. And this is the way it's written right now. God's Word is the first and last word in all of life's decisions. We endeavor to correctly base all teaching, ministry, and practice on God's infallible Word. God's Word is eternally true and must be carefully applied to all of life's situations. It must not be shaped or reinterpreted to fit cultural trends or societal pressures. That's a core value that we try our best to hold on to here at Living Hope, that it is all about God's Word. It's not so much about what we think, but it's about God's Word. Now, obviously, we interpret, we try to apply, and we try to teach God's Word. Now, the very fact that it's going to take me 1.5 mornings to talk about these two short verses obviously means I'm going to be adding a lot of my own thoughts. I mean, because there aren't many words. You just heard them. "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." But I realize that in our culture right now, that first one directed at wives is, let's say, challenging. So we have two options. We can either just kind of skip over, well, we're not really going to talk about that one. Let's just sort of skip past that one. Or we can slow down and say, well, what is Paul saying? What does that mean? And this isn't the only place that command occurs in Scripture. This isn't just one verse. That occurs multiple times. We'll look at that next week. But why is this so delicate or uncomfortable? This language comes under immediate suspicion because it seems to be demeaning to women. Now, I'm just going to read through these next couple paragraphs here because I'll start wandering if I don't. In America, there has been a battle for women's equal rights for years. Many years ago, these battles were over issues such as owning property, serving on juries, attending schools and colleges, and being able to vote. As the years passed, the battles moved on to issues such as contraception, abortion, serving in the military, and working in arenas once limited to men. The battles continue today for equal pay, serving in military combat roles, and protection from harassment in the workplace. That's a very abbreviated list, but you're all aware of those. This long journey that women have been on in America and around the world for equal rights and equal opportunities. Back to my notes. While I don't personally support every battle that has been waged under the heading of women's rights, I believe many of them are just, appropriate, and overdue. But can I share a personal fear in the battle for women's rights? You want to make a man nervous, get him talking about women's rights. Just what, you know how I feel right now. This is a fear that I have, though. I personally believe, and I'm going to say this a lot, I personally believe, that means you're free to agree or disagree, but I personally believe that the most radical elements in the women's rights movement will not rest until all traces of gender have been removed from society. Does that make sense? Until all traces of gender. I think the idea would be the ideal society in the minds, I think, of the more radical faction of women's rights movement would be that we would not see one another as men and women. We would see one another as human beings, as individuals. And I will admit, there are even contexts where I could probably agree with that and say, yes, that could be healthy in some ways. But I think I made this comment both on Mother's and Father's Day. I believe God's creation of gender, of masculine and feminine, is one of the most beautiful and fascinating parts of his design. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's fascinating. But my fear is, I am all for women's rights in most cases, but this, I fear, is a radical element that really is the end goal, that we don't even refer to one another as male or female or men and women. So anyway, let me get back to my notes. In the mindset of our current society, anything perceived as limiting a woman's independence or personal freedom is immediately rejected. Adding to this complexity or discomfort of a biblical command for wives to submit to their husbands is the recent Me Too movement, #MeToo, where women are starting to share the horrible stories of harassment and mistreatment at the hands of men. Unfortunately, these stories seem to have been all too common for many years, revealing a very sinful and disturbing view of women held by men, especially men in places of power and influence. And here's what I fear is happening. To even read a scripture verse out loud that says a wife is to submit to her husband is to be immediately accused of supporting mistreatment and the abuse of women. Let me be clear. There is never, ever a case where the mistreatment, harassment, or abuse of anyone is supported in the teachings of Jesus. Never. We are called to love as Christ has loved us, and this leaves no room for anything but respect and honor in dealing with others, inside and outside of marriage. So aware of all the political correctness and the challenges of this particular Bible verse, shall we move forward? I'll say a lot more about some of that next week, but really, I want to spend just a few moments yet. I promise I'll move through this quickly. Just two views of the male-female relationship and marriage. These are sort of the modern terms where you take two different approaches. So I'm going to share with you two big words. They each have eight syllables, so these have to be like big, important words, right? So these are the two words. Complementarianism and egalitarianism. Now, if you've never heard those words before, that's okay. I really had to do a lot of reading this week to even get up to speed on those words myself. But complementarianism. The first thing we want to do is make sure we start with the right word. We use the word complement in the English language, okay? If I were to say to Gary, I like your shirt. I'm really impressed by the work that you're doing in Israel. That's a compliment. That's a compliment with the letter I. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a compliment with the letter E, and the definition of that is to, these are the definitions. I already gave that one. The definition of compliment is to complete or make perfect. So, a complementary marriage view holds that God created male and female to complete each other as well as to reflect complementary truths about Jesus. To add a few more words to that definition, this view believes that men and women are absolutely equal in value, but that God has designed specific complementary roles of leadership and authority, okay? Not roles of doing the dishes and changing the oil. That's not the roles we're talking about. We're talking about roles of leadership and authority. This view would hold the position that a wife submitting to her husband and a husband humbly seeking God's wisdom to lead his family is a God-ordained arrangement established at creation as a source of blessing to men and women through all time. Okay, that was some of my comments about that. Now let's go to the next one. Egalitarianism is an egalitarian view is that all people are created equal and deserve equal rights and opportunities. Well, that's right in our Constitution, right? All men are created equal. You know, we all agree with this, right? That's an egalitarian view. So what does it look like in marriage? This view holds that in marriage, Jesus leads both spouses into a unified decision. Neither person has more potential to hear God's guidance better than the other based on gender. That would be what I would call a Christian egalitarian view, obviously, if there's reference to Jesus leading both spouses to a unified decision. If I added a few words to that definition, egalitarian view would support the idea that a husband and wife co-lead the family. They're equals. And that submission is still a part of the marriage with each spouse submitting to the other based on Ephesians 5:21, where it says submit to one another out of respect for Christ, fear of Christ, which I forget the exact wording there. Now, at first glance, there doesn't seem to be too much difference between the two, and in a lot of ways, there isn't. But across Christian circles, now we're not talking about outside of the church. There might be a lot harsher language on some of these, but at least within the church, within the body of Christ, you will find, I think for the most part, these two views. One view that a husband and wife complement one another, and they each bring a necessary piece to the equation, and that God has established a certain role and function within the marriage for a husband and for a wife. The other view, the egalitarian view, is that they're simply equals. They come together and they co-lead the family. 50-50, no one has any level of like authority or responsibility other than just, you know, mom and dad or husband and wife serving together. So next Sunday, I will bring a message to try to dive into this a little bit more, where I will share some of my thoughts about this. But my message will be so much better next Sunday when I get some input from you this Sunday. So before you go, I'm going to ask you to help me. Mary and the others, can you have those forms to distribute, right? We're going to get some papers passed out to you. Just a little questionnaire. Looks like this. Go ahead. You can start handing those out. I didn't want to put this in as a bulletin insert because I knew you'd be reading it instead of listening, and I didn't want you to do that. I wanted you not to get it until we were ready for it. And then if you need a pen, I think the ushers have some pens as well. So, Ron, do I have to fill this out? Hey, it's a free country. You don't have to do anything, but I'm asking you to. If any part of it makes you uncomfortable, you don't want to fill it out, we're not asking you to put a name. You won't be identified in any way. You're just giving me data. You're giving me data for what I am putting together for next Sunday. And if you would happen to just be visiting today, I welcome your data. You can add your thoughts as well. Okay, how are we doing? Who needs either a paper or a pen? Anybody? Are we a young man over here? Up front here, Hazel? Or maybe you're still working your way up. Sorry. While they're finishing up, if those phrases, complementarianism or a complementary view of marriage, an egalitarian view, if that is of interest to you, just type either of those words in on a Google search and you will have plenty to read, trust me. There's a lot of talk about that. Okay, so let's just go down through these together. I'll read through them. It's a very simple thing. You put an X if you agree with what the statement says, okay? Now, you can't agree with all of them, or if you do agree with all of them, I think you're confused because they actually contradict one another. So are we ready to go? All right, let's start. These are simply 10 statements about this biblical command for a wife to submit to her husband. Number one, I believe that the New Testament statements about a wife submitting to her husband were based on the culture of that day and do not apply to our current culture. Do you believe that? If you believe that, just put an X there. The second one, I believe Paul had a negative view of women that led him to write about submission. Put an X for that one, if that's what you believe. The third one, I believe that any biblical references to submission are rooted in God's order in creation. Mark that one if you believe that statement. The fourth statement, I believe the biblical concept of submission brings harm and disrespect to women. Check that one if you believe that statement. The next statement, I believe the way submission has been taught has in some cases brought harm and disrespect to women. The next one, I believe that men and women are equal, and any concept of submission devalues women. The next one, rather than harming wives, I believe proper biblical submission actually brings freedom to wives. Check that one if you believe that. Three more to go. I believe that a woman submitting to her husband can look very different in different cultures and even in different marriages. Second to the last one, I believe it is wrong to expect a wife to submit to her husband when she is convinced he is not leading wisely or hearing God clearly. You understand what that's saying? It's wrong to expect a woman to submit when her husband is not leading well or not hearing God. Do you believe that? And then the last one, I believe a wife can fully express her individuality as well as her opinions and viewpoints and still be submitted to her husband. Do you believe that statement? And the last one is the easiest one. I am male or female. That helps us in the data. So if you've chosen to participate in that, first of all, thank you. And secondly, we're going to dismiss in just a few minutes. If you could, before you leave, if you could come up and put your paper in these baskets. There's one here and there's one over there. But this way, we'll be able to tally them, and I appreciate your feedback. Now, if I could ask for phase two of feedback, if any of you would be willing to write to me a few paragraphs, it can be a few pages, I don't care, but just if you have something you would like to tell me about this subject, maybe something God has taught you, something you've experienced in your marriage, a struggle you have with this whole teaching, whatever it is, maybe something you've experienced in your own life or you've observed in other people's marriages, For instance, that one question, like any one of these could have an explanation, like the one question that suggests that biblical submission might actually bring freedom to wives. If any of you have experienced that, I would love if you would write me a paragraph or two about it. Let's see. My email address is on the back of the program. This is it right here as well. If you don't have email, call the office, get a hold of me one way or another. My phone number is on the back there also, I think. So anyway, that will all be additional data in my preparation for next Sunday. So if you have anything to share with me on anywhere on this spectrum, I would appreciate it. I value that. I value your input, and that'll help me as we look ahead to next Sunday. So that's it for this morning. Again, this is just a little bit of an introduction. We'll get into this more next Sunday. Gary, if you will join me, we started, yeah, you still have your mic on, so we started this morning with a little bit of a Jewish flair, if you will, and we're going to end that way. We're going to end with the Aaronic, am I saying that right?
That's
right. Aaronic blessing. And when I speak it, you will recognize it. When Gary speaks it, you may not. Mm-hmm. But you're going to begin. So let's stand. We're going to speak this blessing over you. I'm so glad you could join us today. It was good to have you here. I hope you can join us next Sunday. I hope some of you send me some data this week for my sermon. And okay. Speak over us the Aaronic blessing.
Yevarech lecha Adonai. Vishmarecha. Yair panav alecha ve mechunecha. Yosem Adonai panav alecha ve yivilecha shalom. B'shem Adonenu Yeshua Mashiach.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You're dismissed. Thanks so much for coming.